Yuka Oye is with me in the studio. Hi to you, Yuka.
Hi, Yuka.
So France's outgoing Prime Minister, as we've been saying, says he's hopeful that a draft budget will go before Parliament next week.
Well, appearing on Prime TV, Mr. Le Cornu said all political parties except the far right and the far left agreed on the need to have a 2026 budget adopted by the end of the year. But one of the biggest stumbling blocks was President Emmanuel Macron's signature pension reform. So could it possibly be suspended? If so, at what cost? Luke Trego has more.
France's pension reform raises the retirement age 3 months every year to the age of 64 by 2030. And putting a stake through its heart has been a left-wing cause célèbre for years. But France's outgoing prime minister warned that could come at a cost.
It depends what you suspend and how long for, but clearly it's no less than 3 billion euros in terms of what can be suspended in 2027. It's a considerable amount, about 0.1% of our GDP.
France already has one of the lowest retirement ages in the European Union and spends around 400 billion euros annually on pensions, about 14% of its GDP. A recent study by France's Auditor General's office put a number on just what a suspension of the reform would mean.
Stopping the retirement age at 63 would have a total cost of 13 billion euros to public finances for the 2035 financial year.
Specifically, 5.8 billion euros in extra pension costs and 7.2 billion euros in lost revenue from taxpayers exiting the workforce. Failing to keep people in their jobs longer will also have consequences not just for social security contributions, but a knock-on effect for the economy at large, with those not working unlikely to spend as much. Ultimately, there is one other cost, and this one would be paid by France's right wing. After championing raising the retirement age for over a decade, those behind the reform will have to ask if the political price they'd pay for a climb down will be worth the cost as well.
Well, Yuka, a suspension of the pension reform is just one of the possible outcomes, political compromises, excuse me, that could have an impact on France's public finances.
Well, Mr. Le Cornu's predecessor, François Bayrou, was voted out of office over what the opposition saw as an austerity plan with the goal of cutting 44 billion euros in public spending next year to bring budget deficit to 4.6% of GDP from the expected 5.4% this year. That goal may be softened to be further away from the EU's limit of 3%. Now, France has constantly overspent, with deficit widening to 8.9% of GDP during the pandemic when the government took the whatever it costs approach to support the economy. It has been worsening again since 2022. That, in turn, has added to France's national debt. At the end of the second quarter of this year, it had amounted to more than 3.4 trillion euros, 115.6% of GDP.
Or you could tell us how the financial markets have been reacting to all of this.
Well, there's no doubt that in the long run, all these political concessions, if they happen, will worsen France's public finances. However, the cost of the political stalemate could also be high. And for now, the prospect of reaching a political deal and avoiding a snap election or even an early presidential election has reassured investors. The yield on France's 10-year sovereign bond has come down from about 3.58% on Tuesday to around 3.51% today. Now, French stocks have also had a good day today. The CAC 40 rallied more than 1%, finishing about above the 8,000 euro mark for the first time this week. The index performed better than its European peers, with London and Frankfurt stocks making slightly more modest gains. Wall Street stocks are also recovering after their first decline in 8 days on Tuesday, with the Dow Jones flat and the S&P 500 on track to reaching another record high.
And the US government shutdown is continuing. It's entering its second week now, and the price of gold continues to rise.
Well, after rising $4,000 an ounce on Tuesday, the price of gold continues to surge, and silver has also reached an all-time high. Gold is now firmly above the $4,000 mark, while silver is hovering around $50. The yellow metal has been having its best rally since the 1970s, soaring 30% over the past 6 months. Silver has been doing even better, up by more than 50% during the same period. Now, there are several reasons for this. Uncertainty created by US President Donald Trump's trade policies and now a government shutdown has sent investors to safe haven assets. A weaker dollar, interest rates and central bank reserves have also had an influence.
Well, let's move on, Yuka, because British Prime Minister Keir Starmer is in India for a two-day visit aiming to bolster trade ties.
Well, the visit comes after the UK and India signed a major free trade agreement back in July. The deal was the culmination of 3 years of negotiations as London looked to boost exports post-Brexit. Mr. Starmer says he wants to see it implemented as soon as humanly possible. Brian Quinn has more.
Keir Starmer getting a warm welcome as he touched down in Mumbai on Wednesday. The UK Prime Minister is on his first official visit to India, a two-day trip accompanied by dozens of top British business leaders. His primary objective, the quick implementation of a landmark free trade deal between the two countries.
It's the biggest deal that we've struck since we left the EU. I think it's the biggest deal that India has ever struck. I've asked the team to implement it as quickly as humanly possible so that it's in place, but I think it's already changed the mood music, frankly.
The mood music got its first performance in July during a visit to the UK by Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. That trip saw the signing of the free trade agreement, which cuts UK tariffs on Indian goods like textiles, footwear and food products, while India will cut duties on British whiskey, cosmetics and medical devices. Industry lobbyists have been pressing for the expansion of UK visa access for Indian professionals. Starmer, though, says that despite the trade deal, that isn't in the cards. Bilateral commerce between the world's fifth and sixth largest economies is already worth some $55 billion per year, supporting more than 600,000 jobs across the two countries. The new deal is expected to boost that by $34 billion by the end of next decade. It has yet to be formally ratified, though. Both sides say they're hoping to have it take full effect within the next year. Starmer, in particular, is keen for an economic win, with his Labour Party sliding in opinion polls ahead of general elections set for next spring.